6-1-3 Wrestling. With your hosts, Kyle Joseph and Mark Cote.
Hello everyone, welcome to 613 Wrestling Podcast. It's me, my name is Mark, and unfortunately Kyle's not able to make it again this week. He's once again busy, and we hope to see him soon. And Kyle, if you're listening, miss your brother. But today, it's the road to WrestleMania. And I think the biggest thing we're going to go over is the WrestleMania. Where are we now and where do we think we're going to be? And also at the near the end, but I'll talk about a little bit now, is tomorrow. And I know this podcast will drop tonight, but if you are listening and you haven't gotten tickets yet, tomorrow C4 Wrestling is holding their Reign of Fire event taking place at St. Anthony's Hall. They got a really jam-packed card, which I will review and go over. As well, I'll talk about a little bit of C4 news in regards to why their C4 champion will not be on the show. But right now, I want to start off by, you know, going in through to the road to WrestleMania. Where are we? This is a huge, huge WrestleMania. I believe right now there's, you know, almost close to 10 matches confirmed. And based off my math, which I'll go over with you, I believe we're supposed to hit anywhere from 16 to 17 matches. Guys, girls, that's nuts. Maybe I'm wrong, but of all the 30-plus WrestleManias, have we ever had that big of a card? You know, I know in previous years, people have, I don't want to say complained about the length of WrestleMania, but of course, being a several-hour show, you know, it can really be, you know, it can really hold a lot of weight onto the crowd. You know, the energy of the crowd going through the pre-show, you know, the events happening before and after and all the way through to the main event. But, you know, I think with 17 days away until WrestleMania, I don't know if I've ever, and I know I kind of talked about this last week, but, and I'm going to really stress on it this week, but have we ever seen a lack of build? You know, why is that happening? Who knows? You know, I don't know. It's all speculation of why are we in the position we are where, you know, we know so many matches, but we also have, it's got to be at least almost 7 to 8 more matches that we know are going to happen, but haven't been necessarily, quote unquote, confirmed, whether it be on the website or on the actual show, Raw or SmackDown. And of course, we still have a bunch of titles where we don't really know the direction. You know, it's kind of baffling for me, but as I've always said in all of our podcasts and all of my time being a wrestling fan, you know, yes, I know I'm going to talk a lot about where are we and where are we going to be, but I please encourage you, you know, it's WrestleMania season, guys. This is where wrestling, not just in WWE, but all across the world, you know, is at their height, where, you know, there's conventions, there's different shows all around the world, in the US, Canada, you know. And, you know, it's a time to be excited. So I definitely say no matter what comes out of the cards that we know and we don't know yet, watch WrestleMania with an open mind. Enjoy the stories, enjoy the talent, enjoy the festivities. If you're going, that's awesome. Super jealous. It's actually a big bucket list item of mine is to one day attend a WrestleMania. Kyle, let's go to WrestleMania. Maybe one day. Maybe WrestleMania will come back to Toronto one day. That'd be really cool. But anyways, let's get back into it. So we're the road to WrestleMania. Let's talk about what we know. And what we do know is we have Brock Lesnar defending his Universal Championship against Seth Rollins. We do know we have the Raw Women's Championship, champion Ronda Rousey, defending against Becky and Charlotte in a triple threat. We have Triple H versus Dave Bautista in a no-holds-barred match. We have Shane McMahon versus The Miz. We have AJ Styles and Randy Orton, and I do have some thoughts on that match. Samoa Joe, recently we found out that he is going to be defending his United States Championship against Rey Mysterio. I've heard a lot of people, you know, not really loving that one, but I'm a fan. We have Kurt, talking about not a fan, Kurt Angle in his retirement match taking on sorry, I'm still dumbfounded. Baron Corbin. We'll talk about that. Obviously, as we know as well, recently Buddy Murphy will defend his Cruiserweight Championship against Tony Nese. And confirmed, we talked about it last week, we didn't know, we haven't heard about it, but we now know that there is going to be an Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. So, you know, I don't know if that was kind of tossed in last minute, but we do know, you know, Braun Strowman indicated that he's going to be a part of the Battle Royal. 17 days, we're going to find out who the rest of the 20-some-odd participants are going to be. Once again, I kind of shared my take on the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, where I think it's great. I'm a huge Andre the Giant fan. I'm actually looking at an LJN poster of him up on my wall now, but I think it's kind of an excuse to get everyone on the show. You know, back in the day, if you've been watching wrestling for a long time, you knew that to get to WrestleMania, you needed to put the work and put the time in. Not necessarily saying that everyone's in the Battle Royal has not done that, but at the same time, when you have your full roster attending WrestleMania, you know, it was kind of the showcase of the immortals, the people who've earned it. And it's not necessarily like that anymore, but here we go. So that's what we know so far. That has been, you know, absolutely confirmed, whether it be on the WWE website or on Raw and SmackDown. But here's what we have left. You know, and I counted, let me just take a little look here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I counted 8 matches that are up in the air. 7 of them, and one of them is just kind of an individual that's up in the air for me. But so we're going to assume that the Intercontinental Championship will be defended. It's not necessarily official, but it looks like we're going to see Bobby Lashley defend against Finn Balor. I don't know what Leo Rush is going to play, you know, what role he's going to play, but it's seeming, I don't see with 17 days left until Mania, I don't know if they're going to change that. So I'm going to assume that's going to be on the card. We do know that recently Drew McIntyre has challenged Roman Reigns to a WrestleMania match. Unless I missed it, I didn't see Roman confirm or accept it. I'm assuming we're going to see that next week on Raw. I could only assume that Roman is going to accept. And actually, just about that, those two guys, I did hear a rumor, and of course it's only a rumor, that there was talk of making the Universal title match a Fatal 4-Way with Brock and Seth, and including Roman and Drew. I don't know how I feel about that. Don't get me wrong, I'm sure it would be a crazy match. I'm very much fine and very happy that it's Brock and Seth. I think it's Seth Rollins, say that fast, Seth Rollins' time to reclaim and be in the world championship picture. I think the idea of a fatal four-way was so that Brock could lose without actually losing, you know, because, you know, Drew can, you know, Seth could pin Drew or Roman or whoever, and Brock doesn't actually necessarily need to lose and get pinned or submitted to lose the title. But at the same time, you know, Brock has proven time and time again that he's a dominant force. And a loss will never, ever hurt Brock Lesnar. If anything, you know, the person to do it is Seth Rollins. He's amazing. He's the man. You know, Seth Rollins took 2018, you know, threw it on his back and rode with it. So I'm really excited for that match. Of course, as well as we've been seeing the altercations week over week. I don't know if it's going to be a match, but once again, this is my personal thoughts. I think we're going to see Elias versus No Way Jose. You know, week over week, they've been putting a little bit of time. This most recent on Raw, you know, Elias was on a moment of bliss. Elias came out. Alexa assured him no one is going to interrupt you. Then the conga line came out. It's, you know, heavy machinery. Otis was right in the front and doing his little dance. But then it kind of turned into No Way Jose attacking Elias, turned into a match on Raw. So I don't know where that's going to go necessarily, but I can only assume that potentially it could be a WrestleMania match. What do you guys think? And of course, there are the unknowns. These are 4 to 5 of the really big unknowns right now. So, well, sorry. This one is not necessarily unknown. We're hoping. This past week on SmackDown, Kofi Kingston ran the gauntlet. You know, he beat, let's see, who did he beat? So he beat Sheamus first, took on Cesaro, then took on Rowan, then took on Samoa Joe, and then defeated Randy Orton and won the gauntlet. He won his opportunity to face Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania for the WWE Championship. But then, of course, Vince McMahon had other plans, and he congratulated Kofi, said, hey, you know, great job. Super happy for you. You're going to WrestleMania only if you can beat one more man. You know, the green recycling symbol hit the Titantron and Daniel Bryan made his way out. It was a valiant effort, but of course after facing several individuals before in, you know, pretty decent sized matches, I believe they were an average between 5 to 7 minutes each. I think Cesaro was about 10, 11 minutes, but no, you know, we're hoping that Kofi, you know, within the next 17 days is going to find his way to WrestleMania. It would make absolutely no sense to switch that up. The only other person I can think they would switch it up with is Kevin Owens, who doesn't necessarily have a home on WrestleMania yet, but I think Kofi's put the time in, the people are behind Kofi, and I think Kofi is the right person to go one-on-one against Daniel Bryan for that WWE Championship. Of course, the women's tag team division, you know, and the tag team champs, the Boston Hug Connection, you know, we've been seeing that shaping up a little bit more. They made their way to SmackDown. They took on the Iconics. They lost to the Iconics. And of course, we've seen Tamina and Nia, you know, kind of have their own little side dispute with Beth Phoenix and Natalya. So the big question is, what is that going to be? You know, is Beth Phoenix and Natalya going to take on Nia and Tamina in their own match because of that little feud, you know, with Tamina kind of, you know, having a little altercation with Beth Phoenix, or will it turn into a fatal four-way? My money's on a fatal four-way. I think you're going to see, you know, individuals from Raw and SmackDown. It's kind of, I don't know, I think, a two versus two match, just a team versus a team would be fine. And if anyone's going to do it, I think the Iconics would be great. But I think it's kind of looking like where we're going. You know, Beth Phoenix being back. Beth, you know, this one I had to think about a lot because I've always been a huge Beth Phoenix fan. You know, I'm a huge Edge fan. You know, the fact that they're a couple is mind-blowing. They have a family, beautiful, beautiful daughters. I think they're awesome together. And if you have never, ever listened to ENC Pot of Awesomeness with Edge and Christian, drops every Friday, definitely do it. Definitely do it. It's really, really fun. It's not necessarily like their WWE Network show, where they're kind of very corny and very cheesy and lots of, you know, awfully great bad jokes. It's very, very different. They're great interviewers. They have great jabs back and forth amongst each other. Definitely check it out. But no, with Beth being back, I just don't know where she fits. And, you know, the females are definitely dominating at this point. But whenever we see those, those legends, those Hall of Famers, those Trish, Lita, Beth, when we see them come back, it kind of makes you ask the question, are they only coming back to be able to say, you know, these tag team belts weren't around when I was, you know, at the top of the food chain, when I was the women's champion. I want to get a piece of that now. You know, I want to dive inside and I want to get in there and I want to be able to compete or potentially get the championship. But at the same time, I think it's really hard for, you know, and the crowd was behind her for a good little bit. But I think it's just hard because the female talent has never been as high and as dominant as it has been in WWE in forever almost, or at least the Attitude Era. But I'm assuming the Fatal 4-Way will happen. Next up, this one's a big one. Asuka, the WWE SmackDown Women's Champion, not only, you know, obviously she's going to defend her title, I can only assume. You know, we haven't seen her as much these days, but now we're seeing her a little bit more. Fastlane went against Mandy Rose. But I guess Asuka, one of the most dominating, you know, female competitors in WWE in a long time, and is currently the champion, is kind of getting put to the wayside, which I don't know why. You know, and of course, there might be a bigger story to it that we don't know. You know, backstage politics or injuries or anything else, so don't want to criticize it too much, but I just think when you have such a dominant champion like Asuka, how have we not had several weeks of a build towards one individual, as I feel Asuka deserves? Who is it going to be? It's still unknown. Is it going to be Mandy Rose again? Is it going to be Sonya Deville? You know, it can be a plethora of individuals that can be her challenger. Going back to what we hoped, I kind of hoped that Charlotte would find her way out of that, you know, Becky and Ronda match and in her way against Asuka. I thought it would be very apropos with seeing Charlotte versus Asuka, but this time it's the other way around. You know, last year Charlotte was the champion defending against Asuka. This year it's Asuka's turn to be the champion and defend against, you know, Charlotte. you know, button. But yeah, so who do you guys think is going to face Asuka? Is it going to be Mandy Rose? And if so, what do you think of that? I don't know. Not a fan. Not that I'm not a fan of Mandy Rose. I think she's, you know, she's definitely a lot better than she was when she first started. But at the same time, is it a WrestleMania-worthy match against someone like Sonya or Mandy? But who knows? Next up, of course, another big one. You have one of the greatest tag teams, not in just WWE, but in the world, the Usos. SmackDown Live's WWE Tag Team Champions. And who's going to face them? Who's it going to be? You know, there's lots of tag teams out there, but we're 17 days away and we still don't know. You know, I've been trying to really think about this one for a little bit, and, you know, not just the fact that there's lots of options, but there hasn't even really been a glimpse of who is it going to be. You know, at least with Asuka, we can kind of go, okay, well, hold on here, you know, what's the track record? Who's out there and who's kind of been in the light? But with the Usos, it's really been all over the place. You know, obviously you have the Bar, that can be an option. You have the Hardy Boys, that can be an option. I think it's going to be the Hardy. Seemingly recently, it looks like it may be the Hardy Boys. But I feel if they just throw together another Fatal 4-Way or a multiple tag team type match, I think it's a filler, you know. And which is a shame because the Usos have not had a big track record at WrestleMania. They've actually missed a lot more WrestleManias than they've been in. But they're the champs, you know. And you know it's going to be one of the best matches, you know, on the card when the Usos go in against anyone. So, but we'll see. I guess hopefully the next 17 days will kind of give us a little bit more insight. So the one last one, you know, I guess, well, one or two. Yeah, I said a little bit earlier, but the two individuals that I think of a big question mark, they're not champions, but, you know, they're definitely top stars, which is Kevin Owens and Dean Ambrose. Is Dean even going to make it to Mania? I don't even know. You know, I know they continuously say, you know, very soon Dean's contract is ending. But what does that mean? You know, I don't know. And if there's a date out there, please let me know. I've heard April 1st. I've heard, you know, the end of April. You know, I've heard the end of March. But is he going to, you know, make an appearance at WrestleMania? Or is this whole I'm not re-signing my contract thing a big swerve? I don't know. Like I've said before, guys, I've never, ever in the history of watching wrestling, and I've been watching it vigorously for a very long time, I have never, ever seen, you know, someone say, you know what, I'm going to leave. I'm going to go. I don't want to re-sign. And then the WWE going, okay, cool. You know, we're just going to have you on live television each and every week. You know, that's kind of a loose cannon there where, like, what if he, I don't know. Like, I just don't get it. And the fact that they're cons, you know, Mike, you hear Michael Cole every week, you know, Dean, you know, he's chosen not to sign. What's the purpose of even saying it? You know, if he doesn't want to be here anymore and it's this close, why even bother having him on TV if not for nostalgia and just to get what you can out of Dean Ambrose? You know, I guess the future is really unclear in that sense. I really hope it's not true, or I hope if it is true, Dean finds a way to re-sign with WWE. Because I'm a big Dean Ambrose fan. I think he's awesome. When he's not doing the cheesy, weird stuff, and he's just kind of being true to himself, you know, like almost when he was the champion on SmackDown, you know, a couple of years ago, he was great. You know, just coming down in a tank top, pair of jeans, and a pair of boots, and, you know, it just punch you in the mouth if you looked at him weird, and he was just a tough champion. You know, Dean Ambrose doesn't need a gimmick to get over. Dean Ambrose just needs to be Dean Ambrose, and that's why, you know, that's why me and that's why all the fans love him. So, and especially with Kevin Owens, you know, Kevin Owens recently coming back, challenging for the title against Daniel Bryan at Fastlane, but he doesn't necessarily have a spot. So do we see him in the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal? Do we see a Kevin Owens show at WrestleMania? Does he interfere in something? Who knows? You know, I'm excited to kind of see, because even though there's so many unanswered questions, I do also kind of enjoy, you know, this little land of unknown where, you know, I still have so many questions that I want answered. I like it when it's not as predictable, and it's not very predictable right now. So, you know, I'll take that. And, you know, it sounds a little hypocritical, I know, saying, hey, you haven't built it up as much as you should have, but I kind of like that. You know, it's a little conflicting, I understand, but I think you guys know where I'm coming at with this. What else do we have next? So actually, other parts of WrestleMania. So hold on here. So if we have all of those matches, so 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. So based off of what I know right now, minus Dean and Kevin Owens, there's 16 matches that look to be in the way. That's the confirmed matches plus what we seemingly know is going to happen. That is just not technically quote-unquote official yet. 16 matches? That's nuts. Like, what, WrestleMania is going to be like an 8-hour event. How many pee breaks is that going to be? I have no idea. Well, I'm not going there. So, I'll be watching it at home on the WWE Network. Not a sponsor, but love it. Also, let's not forget, part of WrestleMania is we have a host. We do have a host. We've had a host for the last couple of years. We have a host this year. And the host is Alexa Bliss. I don't know. What do you guys think? You know, Alexa, don't get me wrong, I'd rather see her compete, and she's a great, you know, she's very powerful on the mic, and she's a great heel, you know, but at the same time, it's really, I don't know, I don't get it. Like, I don't know what the whole point of that is. Usually, I don't know, I guess when I think of a host, I'd like to think of maybe like, someone we haven't seen in a while, or a celebrity, or, you know, when we've seen like The Rock and we've seen Hulk Hogan and individuals like that, it kind of makes sense. But Alexa doesn't kind of make sense to me, but we'll see. And of course, we do know that we are going to have I don't want to say like a halftime show, but we know we're going to have a performance at WrestleMania. And that performance is going to be by Elias, which is pretty cool. If he doesn't end up facing No Way Jose, I think he's going to be in that spot where he's going to perform at WrestleMania. And as I said before, and I said it on Twitter, my hope and my heart is he goes out there to perform, and what ends up happening is R-Truth comes out, interrupts him, and takes over. And you see a little bit of a dance-off that they do with Carmella. But more importantly, I hope he grabs the mic, and I hope he puts on a show. It's really cool. I remember, I think it was on a Tables for Three, where R-Truth one time said, like, they said, like, well, what's your big thing you want to do? You know, like, at WrestleMania, like, what's your pinnacle of, you know? And you would assume he would say, like, oh, I'd love to face, you know, I'd love to face for the world championship. You know, I'd love to be in the main event, winning the world championship. No, that's not what he said at all. He said, I would love to be like the performer. You know, we've seen, you know, Flo Rida. We've seen lots of different, performers in the past. But, you know, R-Truth was very adamant that, like, I'd love to be the performer. I'd love to grab the mic and entertain the crowd. I'd love to rap and sing to the crowd. And I think that would be so, so cool. Not only because, you know, it's going to, you know, check off a bucket list item for R-Truth, but you know it'll be really cool. He's a phenomenal talent. He's a phenomenal rapper, and so I'm kind of really hoping that will actually be the case, and Elias will get kind of kicked off his throne, and we're gonna see some rapping and maybe a little, what do they call it? I'm trying to do it right now. The floss. I don't know how to do the floss. My son knows how to do the floss and says I am terrible at it. But no, so, you know, that's the card so far. That's the card, what we think and what seemingly is going to be. So, I don't know, just kind of taking a little bit step back. Now, we went through, you know, the card of what we knew, and then I went in depth on what I think is going to happen. But let's take a little bit of a step back. This past SmackDown, we saw the Kevin Owens show with Becky and Charlotte, which turned into a little bit of a brawl. That was kind of, I don't want to say it was for no reason, but it kind of, that was a little predictable that was going to happen because there was no real point of them being there. Plus on the Kevin Owens show and any other show, people always fight. And so, hence Fight Owens Fight. So also, I want to actually talk about the Miz's promo on SmackDown. That was actually really, really cool. It goes to show how even a small promo, you know, with passion can go a long way. And The Miz has passion. That guy knows how to tell the truth, He also knows how to lie because he's also a great heel. But he knows how to, you know, talk about how hard he works. And it was very simple words he was saying too, right? He wasn't saying anything outlandish. He wasn't, you know, giving a bunch of broken promises or unrealistic expectations. It was just very subtle. No one works as hard as I do. You know, like, the time he's put in, no one does what he does. And that's going to be the reason why he defeats Shane McMahon at WrestleMania. It was very simple. It was very, you know, heartfelt. You know, I saw some people online talking about how lame it was. I was like, oh, yeah, you know, way to go to the, you know, the cheesy lines of how good you are and how hard you worked. But let's be honest, because it's true. You know, The Miz is not only an amazing WWE superstar, but the charity work he does, the Make-A-Wish stuff he does, alongside the movies he does and the shows, and he's always going, and he's a dad, and he's a husband. The guy's like almost a mini version of The Rock, and I really, really respect Miz. I always thought that Miz, you know, last year I thought The Miz, when we were talking 17 days away until WrestleMania, kind of thought we were going to talk about The Miz being in the WWE Championship picture or winning the Royal Rumble, you know, but obviously it didn't go that way, and I'm still having big hopes for The Miz, but I guess we kind of got to, you know, we can like or dislike all the matches we want. We just kind of got to, you know, embrace and enjoy what we do have in front of us. A lot of people, including myself, was not a big fan of The Miz versus Shane McMahon. Kind of saw it coming the moment they became a tag team. But at the same time, it's what we got. So let's just sit back and enjoy the ride. That's all we really can do, because it ain't going to change. Another match that I saw got a lot of heat. A lot of heat. Called the filler match. Was AJ Styles versus Randy Orton. Guys, girls, listen. I'm going to say this, and this is just my opinion, so it's not saying it's necessarily the right opinion, but AJ Styles versus Randy Orton at WrestleMania, that is not a filler match. That's a main event. That's an amazing, amazing, amazing match. I'm super excited. I'm super excited about how easily they built to that off a simple promo, you know, with AJ talking about how, like, you were kind of built by WWE, you wouldn't survive in the independents like I did, you know, like, you know, with your gimmick, and AJ kind of throwing the arms up in the air like Randy does, and it's very, very subtle, you know, and Randy talking about, you know, this home he's built and the legacy he's built and who he is. And the cool thing, too, is that regardless of storyline, regardless of builds, regardless of, you know, heat and going back and forth, just think about it. It's AJ Styles versus Randy Orton. Those guys don't have bad matches. I think it's going to tear the house down. I'm super, super excited for that match. Don't get me wrong. It's a different spot we thought AJ would be in, because not too long ago, AJ Styles was a very much long-reigning, you know, SmackDown WWE champion. So now he's kind of in a singles match, not going for any title. But at the same time, AJ's a champion, and he's always going to be a champion. And I think AJ can step into the title picture like that, you know, in a snap of a finger. So I think, once again, I'm going to enjoy this. These are two very tenured, grizzled veterans where even though AJ might not have been around and has as many title runs as Randy has in WWE, you know, this is a lot of experience in two individuals. And I'm really, really excited for that one. Of course, Samoa Joe versus Rey Mysterio, as I said a little earlier, that one got a lot of heat. And, you know, a lot of people were talking about how it doesn't make sense. And, you know, hey, sure. And I don't think that's because it's Rey or Joe. I think it's just a U.S. championship, you know. The U.S. championship has kind of been in a little bit of a tough position for a long time. You know, it's had its ups and downs, and it had its ups when John Cena was doing his, you know, his open challenges and defending the championship a while ago. And, you know, it's funny where clearly that had such a big impact on the U.S. championship, because we always go back to that. Not just me, but everyone online. But I don't know, you know, Samoa Joe, he's the U.S. champion. You know, I think if they don't have much for, you know, really strong stars like Samoa Joe, let him have that belt. Let him try to make something out of it. And, you know, Joe is a really, really good heel. He sells things very well. And I love how he's talking about how, you know, he's the face of America. You know, if you're not paying attention to Samoa Joe's promos, make sure to kind of look back and pay attention to those things, because they're very subtle, but they're very impactful in regards to that U.S. Championship belt. And Rey Mysterio, hey, like, don't get me wrong, it's a little bit of a different match. Some people were calling it maybe a match that's better fit for a SummerSlam, but it's what we have in front of us, and let's be honest, I think we all know what we're looking forward to seeing. The outfit that Rey Mysterio is probably going to be wearing at WrestleMania is probably going to be insane. And maybe, I don't know, you know, Samoa Joe's a recently new U.S. champion. People don't necessarily hold the U.S. championship for long periods of time. You know, is this Rey's moment? Is this Rey's, you know, way to put Joe over? Or is this time for Rey to shine? I'm just trying to think. Has Rey Mysterio ever been the United States champion before? I don't think so. Gotta think about that one. But no, once again, if you're listening, correct me if I'm wrong. What else we have here? Oh, geez. Of all the people Kurt Angle could have faced off in his retirement match, the fact that he chose Baron Corbin. Well, I'm sure he didn't choose Baron Corbin. I'm sure, obviously, we know, like, the Office chose Baron Corbin, which is interesting. You know, I wish I was a fly on the wall for that conversation. Was it, hey, it's your retirement match, this is who you're going to face? Or was it, hey, it's your retirement match, who would you like to face? You know, if pick your person, and if we can make it happen, perfect. I don't know if Kurt Angle made that decision. I know a lot of us kind of was maybe hoping John Cena. I didn't even say John earlier. Are we going to get John? Heck, are we going to get The Undertaker at WrestleMania? My goodness. An Undertaker, or I don't know. Ah, jeez. See, so many unanswered questions. It's crazy. But no. So we kind of thought it was John Cena, and it wasn't John Cena's Baron Corbin. Now, even Kurt Angle's wife on social media actually showed her distaste in this match. Like, Baron Corbin, really? Like, what the heck? Don't understand it. Don't get me wrong, like, I'm sure Baron Corbin has a place somewhere, I just don't think it's here, and I get it. The heat and the story is there, where, you know, Baron Corbin took over the general manager duties for Kurt Angle while he was kind of on a quote-unquote vacation or a sabbatical that Stephanie told him he needed to take. So the storyline is there and the relation is there, but at the same time, let's throw that out the window. This is Kurt frickin' Angle, you know, the 1996 Olympic gold medalist in freestyle, you know, wrestling. It's like, he's a legend. He was one of the quickest, you know, quickest build. Like, no one grew as quickly as Kurt Angle did over 20 years ago in the business. You know, he went from brand new to winning titles upon titles, and he was a natural, an absolute natural. So to make his way out, I think it should be either be a legend, you know, like a John Cena or someone else, or someone where it makes sense. You know, someone where by beating Kurt Angle, because I can almost assume that Kurt will lose, because usually you do the honors when it's your last match. Or do they want, you know, Kurt to go out on top? Who knows? Heck, the Raw match against Chad Gable. That, if you would have told me that was the match at WrestleMania, whew, they had a great match on Raw. That would have been awesome. Imagine, Chad, like, both people, like, both, you know, heavy, heavy wrestling experience, you know, very accomplished wrestlers. Just Chad Gable at WrestleMania would have been great. Heck, I even saw a suggestion that, it should have been, what's his name? Jason Jordan. Like, why didn't Jason Jordan come back and say, hey, Dad, I want to face you at WrestleMania. You know, it's your last match. You put me over. If anything, it's funny, right? Sorry, I know I'm bouncing back and forth here. I get very ranty with wrestling. It's, when they did the whole father storyline, out of anyone in American Alpha you could have chosen as your son, you know, Chad Gable might have been, you know, the more sensical one. Not necessarily saying because of skin color or things like that. But you know, we knew Chad Gable as, you know, the All-American guy. You know, Kurt Angle was the All-American guy. You know, we know Jason Jordan has, you know, a background, but Chad Gable, very much Olympic wrestler. Like, so they had so many similarities that it would have just made more sense for Chad Gable to be Kurt Angle's son. It would have been more believable in my eyes. But I don't know. Now, I also saw some things online and talking to, you know, some of my friends. Maybe, is this a swerve, you know? Well, maybe all of a sudden at WrestleMania, you know, Baron Corbin comes out, Kurt Angle comes out, they're about to tie up, and maybe John Cena comes in and punches Corbin in the face and just shoves him aside and goes, let's go. You know, we've been seeing surprises a little bit more and more and last-minute stuff, and seeing as how last-minute WrestleMania is this year with 17 days away and so much still undefined, would it really shock you if they started making on the fly, like at the, like on the day of WrestleMania, April 7th, all of a sudden they're switching things up? Wouldn't shock me. You know, I don't think it should shock anyone. But that was a very interesting one. And I don't know. What I do know is I'm sure Kurt Angle is going to put everything out on the line. You know, we've been seeing a little bit of a slower version of Kurt Angle these days. But once again, the stuff that guy's put his body through, you know, his past with, you know, alcohol and drugs and, you know, prescription pain meds and everything that he's done for the business of professional wrestling, you know, took a toll on his body. Don't get me wrong, for his age and what his body has gone through, like, Kurt still looks great. He's not as quick as he used to be, but he still looks great, and hats off to him for still wanting to do it. But I do feel that Kurt Angle, and who knows what the future for Kurt Angle is, but I think, you know, I think he would make a great, like an agent, a producer, because Kurt has such a great mind for wrestling. You know, if you've never seen interviews or his thought process on how the business is and where it should go, definitely read and watch those, because, you know, he's got an amazing mind, which makes sense, because look at him, one of the fastest growing stars in the history of the business ever. So, and then, of course, you know, we know that Tony Nese defeated Cedric Alexander to become the number one contender for Buddy Murphy. I did like this option. I really, really did. You know, we've seen Cedric, we've seen Buddy go through a lot of individuals, but we haven't seen Tony Nese get a shot. So I actually thought that was a really, really neat twist, where when I saw, you know, when I saw the 205 live match, I was like, oh, there we go. Cedric Alexander's going to win again. Well, here we go. Here's the repeat. But no, Tony Nese. I thought that was a really, really cool change, because I think Tony Nese is great. He's got a great look. He's great in ring. He's got everything going for him. So hats off Tony Nese. I'm sure they're going to tear the house down at WrestleMania. Now, are they going to be the, I don't know. I guess WrestleMania is a little bit different with how they work their pre-show. I know sometimes there's anywhere from 2 to 3 matches on the pre-show. Sometimes the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royals on the pre-show. Sometimes it's on the main show. But I hope, if anything, give Buddy and Tony, give them a main card spot. I really, really, really think that would be awesome. And not just be another, you know, pre-card match. All right, let me just see here. Anything else on WrestleMania I wanted to go over? And once again, guys, you know, I know we're not the biggest army in the world, but I do appreciate all of you guys that do download and listen and like and comment, and, you know, really, really do appreciate it. So please, like I've always said, our social media is 613 Wrestling on Twitter, Instagram, YouTube. I personally want to start doing more different things, and I know Kyle and I have talked about it many times, where, you know, do we do a watch-along? Do we review a certain pay-per-view? Do we talk about a certain superstar? You know, I know a couple months ago we did the Mount Rushmore, which I really, really enjoyed that episode. Because, yes, we love talking about the product now, because the product now is very busy, you know, and very unpredictable and very all over the place. So there's lots to talk about. But I would love to take a step back and, you know, maybe do a small segment on today's wrestling, but also do something in the past. You know, I don't know what exactly that would be, and I'm sure Kyle and I will put some thoughts together very soon. We do have some ideas, but we'll actually record them soon, but we'd love to hear what you guys would want us to see. You know, I would love to, you know, for example, 1996 WWF In Your House Mind Games. That was one of my favorite pay-per-views of all time, where it was headlined by Shawn Michaels defending his WWF championship against Mankind. That match was nuts. So that was a very memorable pay-per-view for myself. So I would love to, you know, watch it with Kyle and just kind of give some commentary on what we thought and get our reactions. And, you know, I don't know how we would do in those sense, but I think we'd do pretty well. So yeah, more to come, guys. And, you know, thank you for all your love and support, and I really appreciate it. All right. So let's go through a little bit of Raw and SmackDown from this week. I know I kind of talked about a lot of different things when going through the WrestleMania card, but let's just take a look here. So, very quick recap of Raw. So, and in no particular order, these are just some notes that I was taking while I was watching. Of course, we saw, you know, Brock Lesnar show up with a nice classic Paul Heyman promo. Drew McIntyre interrupted. Seth attacked him with a chair. And if you haven't seen it, guys, I'm telling you, go on. It's on Twitter, and I think it's on YouTube as well. But on Twitter, I found one of the shots to the right side when Seth was just hammering Drew with a chair. Bang, bang, bang. The camera guy, there was a little bit of a glimpse of the other camera guy on the other side. And he was literally like doing squats, like whipping his head to get that camera action of like bang, bang, bang. It was the greatest thing I've ever seen in my life. And it totally makes sense. But I guess it's little continuity things like that that you don't really pay attention to that WWE does. So I thought that was actually a really, really, really cool little side piece to see. But no, of course, that kind of led us to Drew McIntyre facing Seth Rollins in the main event of Raw, which was a hell of a match, a hell of a match. We saw Finn Balor and Braun Strowman take on Bobby and Lio Rush. Braun was the mystery tag team partner for Finn, which was great to see, because no matter what, you know, whether, you know, Braun's on his own or if he's mysteriously teaming with some random people, you know, he always seems to have Finn Balor's back, which was really, really cool to see. Of course, Braun and Finn with the win, where Lio Rush got demolished by Braun Strowman, which was really, really cool. Which kind of at first almost made me feel, is Braun going to make his way into the Intercontinental title picture? But then no. Then he said, I'm going to join the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. The worst Braun Strowman impersonator ever. One really cool segment as well was you had the caption of Ronda Rousey and her husband Travis Brown, you know, walking into the arena and the ref standing there with the security guards being like, hey, you know, because of what you did, you put your hands on us refs and we need extra protection. You can't do that. And then Ronda just walks away, you know, which was awesome. You know, it was it turned into like the worst acting ever by the ref to just kind of like whatever. You know, so it was pretty funny if you haven't seen it, watch it. Moment of Bliss, like we talked about before, with Elias as the special guest, got interrupted. Kurt Angle retirement match, Baron Corbin, Jeebus. And of course, like we talked about, Angle was against Chad Gable on Raw in a phenomenal match. Angle went over, but that was absolutely incredible. And the cool thing too is, you know, you saw some of the crowd. The crowd was very excited for the majority of that match, but you kind of saw some individuals, you know, you kind of heard a little bit of boos and, you know, you saw some comments online being like, oh, the most boring match ever. But guys, like, they put on a clinic. They put on a wrestling clinic. You know, the moves, the reverses, the holds. You know, for many, many years when I was younger, for several years, I was a amateur wrestler in high school and a little bit later on. And I also spent 2 to 3 years coaching wrestling at the high school I attended. So I got a little bit of a wrestling background myself. And, you know, being able to watch that kind of maneuvers where some people think it's boring, it's actually a lot more exciting than people give it credit for. So definitely make sure to enjoy some of that grappling. We, of course, we saw a match with Sasha Banks and Natalya. The Mojo promo in the mirror. So here's what I like about the Mojo Raleigh promo and, you know, him kind of psyching himself up in the mirror, you know, just kind of in a black tee, not being the hype bro. and just kind of talking about himself and, you know, where he needs to be. What I love about that promo is we're not seeing it every single week, you know, kind of like the NXT call-ups. We saw it like several times every week where it was, you know, EC3 is coming, you know, Lacey Evans is coming, and don't get me started on Lacey Evans. But no, it's kind of neat. It does make me feel, you know, this is clearly their attempt at trying to repackage Mojo. But where is it going to go? I'm interested. You know, I'm jumping on for the ride on this one because I've always been a fan of Mojo. I think, you know, the gimmick has always been the thing behind him. You know, the overmotivated hype bro. You know, the fraternity guy, football guy. That can only really go on for so long until it gets a little dry. So, but Mojo's, you know, a hell of a worker. You know, he's strong. He's a really great wrestler. So if we can see him in a little bit more of a, you know, a little bit of a more, I guess, a died down version of what he was, but mainly more so focused on, you know, the impact and the aggression he can put into the ring to his opponent, I think that'd be really, really cool. Beth Phoenix announced that she wants a shot at the title, the tag team titles with Natalya. You know, that was very interesting. I know I kind of talked a little bit about that earlier, but, you know, don't really know where that's going to go. You know, is that going to be a fatal four-way? Are we going to see Natalya and Beth take on Tamina and Nia? Unsure yet. We also saw a Batista promo. You know, Batista was all suited up in the chair on the Titantron and kind of talking about overall, you know, why does he want to face Triple H? You know, Batista went into, you know, a very methodical, a very cocky, egotistical type stance and just essentially overall called Triple H a control freak, saying he's a control freak. Like, no, like, this guy needs to be shut down. He's the reason why I quit years ago. And so I'm excited for that match. And once again, like I was saying last week, if you haven't been following Dave Batista's career and you've only been watching wrestling for the last little bit, number one, go back, WWE Network, and watch Batista's career. Watch the matches. Batista's very first world heavyweight title reign was actually defeating Triple H at WrestleMania. Through Evolution, you know, different feuds with Eddie Guerrero, Rey Mysterio, phenomenal. And Batista for many, many years has been talking about, you know, outside of WWE, when he's doing interviews with things for Guardians of the Galaxy, you know, people are asking him, like, will you ever go back to wrestling? You know, he's been saying, yes, and I want to face Triple H. I want my last match to be against Triple H at Mania. And finally, that kind of goes back to the promo the other week where he was saying, give me what I want. Give me what I want. I want it on my terms. Give me what I want. That's because he was saying, like, I've been wanting this for years. I've been wanting WrestleMania. I want you as my last match. Give me what I want. So if you've been watching it, I think you know what I mean. That was a really cool altercation that they had when Triple H then accepted the WrestleMania match. Of course, we know Braun declares the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal spot. And then, of course, we had Drew McIntyre taking on Seth Rollins. But also, Drew challenged Roman at a WrestleMania match. Unless I missed it, I didn't hear Roman accept it. I don't even know if Roman was on Raw. Was he on Raw? I don't think he was. But clearly, the week before, he got beaten up quite a bit. He took a couple of good blows to the head, so, you know, definitely earned some time off for going that far into his first week or two back. But no, the Drew McIntyre and Seth Rollins match to main event Raw was great. Thought that was awesome. It was very, very good match. Drew won, of course, because Brock kind of played that little bit of an interference role. You know, Drew hit him with the Claymore, got the pin, which I like that because keeps Drew strong, especially going into the Roman match to kind of be able to say, like, you know, I keep beating your guys. I beat Dean. I beat Seth. But also, it shows Seth, it almost tries to make Seth a little bit of an underdog going in against Brock to show that Brock can say, like, I can beat you, you know, even by mind games, you know, like, I've already won, you know, which I think is a really cool twist. quickly jumping into SmackDown. So Raw was quite jam-packed this week. You know, we had a little bit more definition into WrestleMania and some really good matches, you know, about a dozen different segments, which is pretty cool. But SmackDown was quite small, but impactful. Simply enough, we had, you know, the Boston Hug Connection made their way to SmackDown, as they said, you know, on Raw, we're making our way to SmackDown. They did. They fought the Iconics, and the Iconics won. A little bit of cheap hold-down roll for Sasha, but the Iconics beat the Tag Team Champs. That's very impactful, which that's where I believe we're going to lead into WrestleMania. And, of course, the Kevin Owens Show with Becky and Charlotte, and Rey Mysterio kind of declares he's going to face the United States champion Samoa Joe, and then his son Dominic was there. Dominic is huge. That was really, really exciting, guys. You know, I was really happy to see that because, and actually someone on Twitter did what I was thinking of doing, so they very much beat me to the punch. But, you know, way back, I think it was like 2006, 2005, where Dominic was on an episode of SmackDown. He's just a little boy. Little boy with little bleach blonde hair, and, you know, when there that was during the storyline with Eddie Guerrero, but now you see him all grown up. You know, he's not just a little boy anymore, and he's huge, and apparently I've heard he's training to be a wrestler, which is very, very interesting. So it was really, really cool. That segment was really, really neat, and I really, really enjoyed that. And of course, as we talked about, the Miz promo on Shane, kind of, you know, being very impactful, talking about the reasons why he's going to beat him at Mania. And then, of course, we had the other half of the show that took the last hour of the two-hour SmackDown show, which was Kofi Kingston's gauntlet match. I know I kind of ripped through it really quickly earlier, but started off with, you know, Sheamus. And, of course, the New Day, Xavier and Big E, are banned from the ring. And if they, you know, if they dare to go to the ring to try to help Kofi in any way, Kofi gets disqualified. So, you know, the New Day did what they, you know, were told, and they stayed back for the sake of Kofi. I love the momentum in the back locker room, the shots where it was kind of like the New Day with the Usos, and then every time they kind of went back over, there was more people gathering around the monitor, which was really, really cool. You know, a packed house on the monitor. You saw, you know, Jeff and Matt Hardy. You know, you saw Nikki Cross and, you know, the Usos and the New Day. And, you know, you saw everyone was there just, you know, very excited and, you know, cheering them on. But, of course, Kofi took on Sheamus for about 10 minutes. Defeated Sheamus with the Trouble in Paradise, which was a really, really good match. I don't know if there's many bad Sheamus matches out there. But then right afterwards, Sheamus' tag team partner Cesaro jumps right into the ring. The Swiss Superman comes in for several minutes and, you know, kind of gets defeated. What is it called? When he does the leg sweep? The SOS, that's it. Sorry, I almost forgot about that. But no, Kofi defeats Cesaro with an SOS sweep, gets a little pin, and roll-up pins seem to be the theme of this, which I know a lot of people are saying, my God, you know, the schoolboy roll-ups, you know, like all of this stuff. Like, we're seeing so much of it these days. And you're right, we are. But in this case, seeing as how he's fighting for his life, it kind of makes sense because, you know, he's becoming weaker and weaker throughout. So, you know, let's continue and I'll kind of elaborate on what I mean. You know, next is Rowan. Rowan beats the Bohebus out of Kofi Kingston and loses by disqualification. So Kofi advances, now beating three individuals. But Kofi's in rough shape at this point. That forehead choke slam or the forehead slam Rowan gave Kofi to the table. He didn't even move the monitors off the darn table. That was ridiculous. And I was almost like, because I remember one time when Randy Orton had that happen to him and he sliced his back open. Like, I don't know. That just seemed really risky for how big of a move that was and like how hard he hit the table. Like, that was ridiculous. But now we got Sheamus, Cesaro, and Rowan down. Two more left. Samoa Joe comes in, beats the heck out of Kofi some more. We see some good, a little bit of offensive times. But then, of course, with the roll-up, Kofi gets the win. Another roll-up. I think that's the second roll-up of the night. And then, of course, the fifth and final person in the gauntlet trying to stop Kofi Kingston from going to WrestleMania to challenge Daniel Bryan is Randy Orton. A fresh Randy Orton is no joke. But Randy came in, you know, was very methodical in his Randy way. You know, very much, you know, some big impact moves, but then kind of like, you know, talking crap around and doing what Randy does, you know, pulling back the head and, you know, just kind of very much like making the moment, you know, making it known that I am going to win. You know, the cockiness in that situation was great. But then, of course, another roll-up. But that roll-up was, I don't want to say botched, but I'm sure it's going to be on some kind of Botchamania site or video or something. But, of course, with Randy kind of, you know, the whole point was Kofi got the roll out of nowhere. RKO out of nowhere, you know, roll out of nowhere. Anyways, it's late. I'm sorry. But no, kind of got the roll out of nowhere. And then Kofi was trying to grab Randy's arms, you know, the forearms, and hold it down for a pin. Randy was actually wiggling around so much, he accidentally, like, right before three, he actually got his right shoulder up. But the ref still counted three. You know, Randy still sold it. And the place went nuts. I am literally standing there with my arms in the air, like, doing a New Day dance. You know, and I'm not that good at dancing, but I was excited. I was like, wow, okay, you know what? It was quite a trip to get here, but we're here. Kofi Kingston, my God, this guy is going to WrestleMania. He's freaking going to WrestleMania. And it was very apropos that he beat Randy Orton, because back in 2009, I think it was, Randy Orton and Kofi had a feud. And you know, it had title contentions in it as well. So for Randy to be the individual that was trying to stop that again, you know, was really, really well done, you know. And I don't think a lot of people that know the history of Kofi and Randy, you know, really caught that part. But if you do, you know exactly what I'm talking about. But no, Kofi Kingston is going to WrestleMania. Ugh. And then Vince comes out, Kofi, congratulations, you know, is so happy for Kofi, you know, like, you proved me wrong, and, you know, you're going to WrestleMania. As long as you defeat your next opponent. And then, of course, you know, green recycling symbol, boom, you know, the music hits. Daniel Bryan, a fresh Daniel Bryan comes out, and, right, you know, Kofi has gone through five of the toughest individual SmackDown and the business has to offer. Faces Daniel, Kofi's tired, the New Day protests saying it's bull. Daniel Bryan wins, crushes the dream. Daniel Bryan grabs his title, just, that's it, done. Like, I, you know, put a staple in it, and, you know, file it away, it's done, it's over, you know. So that was really disappointing. Now, will they go any other way other than Kofi and Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania? I don't think so, but they're making us work for it, though, right, guys? Like, they're really making us wait, you know. They're running us through the emotions. Heck, they're winning. Look, I'm on a podcast talking about the damn thing. Like, it's, and the world is irate, the world is upset. If anything, and my biggest thing is two things. Number one, I hope Kofi and Daniel is a one-on-one match. That's my biggest thing. Number two, it would have been nice to, don't be afraid to define this early, because imagine us as fans being able to enjoy Kofi's build and for Kofi to enjoy his road to WrestleMania. Every week we get to watch and smile and just kind of think like, whoa, Kofi Kingston's going to face Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania. You know, like, watch them, you know, watch them fight, watch them, you know, jab back and forth, and, you know, the promos they could cut. But I'm not going to lie, I'm not necessarily disappointed in this whole build. You know, it's, they're making us work for it, for sure. The only thing that kind of is a little in the way is months ago when Triple H and the McMahon family talked about, you know, pressing the reset button, flipping the switch, and I'm pretty sure it was Triple H saying, no longer will you see, you know, management get in the way. But that's what Vince is doing. He's being the heel authority figure, screwing with Kofi for no reason whatsoever. But I kind of do like it a little bit at the same time. I know that's hypocritical, but, you know, because I just said I would love to watch weeks of build, but I like it because they're playing with my emotions, and it's wrestling emotions. It's not personal, but they're playing with my emotions, and if anything, I want Kofi to face Daniel now more than ever, you know, and I hope it happens. So whatever WWE's doing, you know, they know how to get emotion out of people, get emotion out of their crowd, and they're doing it. So, but no, guys, that's Raw and SmackDown. You know, one last little piece as well is, of course, we do know at the NXT TakeOver before Mania, we're going to have Adam Cole, who won the Fatal 4-Way, will challenge Johnny Gargano for the vacant NXT Championship. I think that's going to be really cool, with Tommaso Ciampa being out for surgery. Very unfortunate, because apparently we were going to get Johnny and Tommaso, you know, for the championship at TakeOver, which I'm assuming Johnny would win. But Tommaso's out, and Cole's in. We're going to get a new champion anyways. But up next, guys, I'm going to take a quick little break. I'm going to get some water and go take a little bathroom break. But then I'm going to close out the show with talking about C4 Wrestling's Reign of Fire event tomorrow at St. Anthony's Hall. Hold tight, guys. Be right back. Welcome back, everyone. So, to close out today's show, like I was saying earlier, now that we're done talking about the road to WrestleMania, is I did want to talk about tomorrow's show, C4 Wrestling, their event at St. Anthony's Hall in Ottawa, Ontario, Canada, titled Reign of Fire. The doors open at 6:45 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and the event starts at 7:30. I definitely, definitely, definitely encourage you to go there, you know, once when the doors open, because not just because it's great to kind of be around, you know, the feeling of wrestling, and especially independent wrestling, but also I definitely encourage you to go check out the talent, check out the autographs they can get, you can get a photo, get some merchandise. You know, a lot of these up-and-coming independent stars don't make as much money as some people on, you know, main television. So, you know, it's a great way to support. Plus, some independent people have amazing merch. If you've never seen All Ego, Ethan Page's merchandise, he's got some of the best merchandise in the game. He's not wrestling tomorrow night, but trust me. The hoodies, the shirts, the Benums, like the little action figures and stickers and patches and all the things you can get are definitely worth taking a look. So let's jump right into it. And so in no specific order, you know, and what I love about C4 Wrestling is not only do they always put on a heck of an event, but there's always lots of individuals who I don't know. So I'm not going to necessarily break down so much every single match, because there is a lot of talent that I'm not overly familiar with. But I just kind of want to go over the card, because Kyle and I are huge C4 Wrestling, you know, fans. We love promoting, you know, this brand, C4 Wrestling. We love attending the shows. You know, I have my ticket sitting right here tomorrow night, Reign of Fire, St. Anthony's Hall. Boom. I don't know if there's any tickets left, but make sure to take a look. So looks like, I don't want to say starting off, but there's a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Looks like there's 8 matches tomorrow night. And, you know, first up in a triple threat match, we do have Mike Bailey versus DJZ versus Matt Angel. DJ, you know, Mike Bailey, I'm not overly familiar with, but if you've ever watched Impact Wrestling or TNA, DJZ, you know, a former X Division champion, you know, very, very well known with his disco techno DJ vibe and look to him. And of course, very recently was now the former C4 world champion after he defeated Kobe Durst to become the world champion, Matt Angel. Next up, we do have the tag team championship on the line with the champions, Sheldon and MVP versus the Space Pirates versus one of my favorite tag teams in C4 and on the independents, the Fraternity, and also versus Fight or Flight. This match is going to be crazy. I'm going to tell you, if you're at the event, you're probably going to, especially if you're in the front few rows, you're probably going to have to move out of the way a lot. And these guys are nuts. Fight or Flight, and, you know, they're little Rey Mysterios that really know how to bump and fly. The fraternity has such a great gimmick, great look. You know, two dudes, you know, from quote-unquote college. But they play amazing heels. Space Pirates are awesome. And Sheldon and MVP, man, I remember when they first got together to tag team before they won the title, the titles. And, you know, I wasn't a big fan, you know, when Sheldon and MVP got together, only because I just didn't feel it mixed and meshed well. It just didn't seem right. But I'll tell you, was I ever wrong? You know, Sheldon and MVP are an amazing heel tag team. MVP, you know, very, very underrated in the independent game. If you've never watched him, I definitely encourage you to go look back on any previous C4 shows or any other shows he's been on. Of course, we have Evil Uno versus Eli Everfly. Eli Everfly, not so long ago, was on SmackDown Live. You know, a little bit of a jobber match there. Evil Uno is phenomenal. He's a big man, you know, almost, you know, he's a masked big man. I don't want to say he's Bam Bam Bigelow-esque, but for someone as big, he's dominant, he's strong, he's crazy. I've never seen a big man move so quick on the independent scene like I've seen Evil Uno. So definitely that's going to be a very exciting match. It's almost kind of like a little bit of a David versus Goliath where, you know, Eli Everfly is going to have a big mountain to overcome in that match. Next up, we do have a six-man tag. We have James Stone. We have a one-on-one match next. James Stone versus Benjamin Toll with Brad Alexis. A huge fan of James Stone. I remember, with C4, I love them, but I'm also drawing a blank with so much of, you know, people's past. That's where I'm kind of a little stuck trying to go through is I'm trying to think of previous. I know James Stone was in a tag team and a former tag team champion. That was actually one of the first C4 events I ever went to, but I cannot remember his tag team partner's name nor the tag team's name. That's going to bug me. Please, guys, let me know if you're listening to this and if you know who James Storm's previous tag team partner was. But a huge James Stone fan, I think that's going to be a heck of a match. You know, is Brad going to play a part? He's going to help Benjamin Till get the win? Who knows? Next up, here we go. This is where I got confused. Next up, we have a six-man tag. We have Tabanak the Team, one of also, including, I would say, above the fraternity for me, my favorite tag team on the independent scene. Those guys, it's a lumberjack gimmick. They're French. They're brutal. They're strong. They got a great look. They got everything going for them. Tabanak the Team is actually teaming with Bucks Belmar. For those of you who don't know, very well known in the C4 community. You know, I remember actually my very, very, very first C4 event many years ago. Bucks Belmar was on the show. He actually opened the show with a promo, talking about how he's been away for a while and how he's back. And I thought that was absolutely amazing. And he's got a very weird prodigy, you know, grunge gimmick that goes with them, and I think he's great. But they are, so TBT and Bucks Belmar is going to take on an amazing tough hill to climb over with the Butcher and the Blade and Darby Allin. Butcher and the Blade, that's crazy. Those guys, another example of how I was very mistaken for judging a tag team. You know, once again, it was kind of like, I don't get it. And, you know, didn't really give him a chance. You know, I kind of don't get the gimmick, you know, just some tattooed guys and, you know, with a gimmick. But Butcher and the Blade, wow. Like, that's going to be an intense match. You know, it's going to be a grunt. Like, just to think, Butcher and the Blade versus, you know, Tabanak the Team itself, that's going to be hardcore. I'm really excited for that one. The next thing I'm excited for is a Canadian boy, Canadian bred, Canadian made, Tyson Dukes versus Eric Spicely. Not so familiar with Eric Spicely, to be honest, but Tyson Dukes, woo, so excited. Tyson Dukes, to me, is one of the best Canadian independent stars in the world. You know, I put Tyson Dukes with Josh Alexander, you know, Ethan Page, you know, when it comes to Canadian wrestlers. But Tyson Dukes, man, he's been doing this for a long time. And he's almost like he's got a great look, big beard, but at the same time, he's almost very Dean Malenko-esque in the sense of he's very technical in his approach. It's not always about locks and holds, but that guy can beat you up for sure. And then next up, we also have the Underground Championship with the Underground Champion, Jonathan Rukin, versus the female wrestler competitor, Veda Scott, versus the deranged Cecil Nix, and versus Stu Grayson, former title challenger for the C4 World Heavyweight Championship. That one's interesting. I'm very excited. You know, usually on the events, C4 always finds a way to put one of their very strong females in an event, in a match, sorry, whether it be, you know, like, you know, 4-on-4, 5-on-5. But this one, it's a fatal four-way. You know, Veda Scott's got a good hill to climb to become the Underground Champion, defeating Rukin, Cecil Nix, and Stu Grayson. So very excited to kind of see that, especially Stu Grayson. I believe the last event, Stu was not able to make it. So to see Stu, easy for me to say, it's currently midnight and I'm tired. So I'm sorry if I'm gibbering now. But no, so to see Stu Grayson again is really exciting. I remember Animal House, where it was Stu Grayson versus Matt Angel for the number one contender for Kobe Durst's C4 championship. And that match was insane. I'm so impressed with Stu Grayson, and I'm really excited to see him again on this one because I missed him last time. And then looks like, once again, not necessarily the main event by any means, but the last match that I see is Kobe Durst versus Facade. I bet you it's Facade. Kind of looks like a dreaded Enzo Amore with a handkerchief on his face, I think. Facade, not very familiar with you, and I apologize. Kobe Durst is a machine. That guy's nuts. Very excited to see Kobe Durst, former C4 world champion. You know, clearly, obviously trying to climb his way back to title contention. And Facade seemingly is who's in his way right now to get there. I love Kobe Durst, man. You know, Kobe is, I remember the first time I saw Kobe. You know, kind of looking, I'm like, okay, he's in decent shape, and, you know, like, he's not so tall, and long blonde hair, and, you know, just looks like a dude. You know, looks like a dude from high school. But then he gets in the ring, and the bell rings, and the guy's nuts. Like, he is, like, almost very Chris Benoit-esque in the wrestling sense of, you know, like, he's very hardcore, and he's not afraid to jump off that top rope and make you feel that pain. So I'm very, very excited. And I think just a note, going back on all of this, I think where it becomes harder for me to comment on C4 is I don't, you know, I can talk about Road to WrestleMania because I'm so familiar with all of the talent. So I can talk about what's been coming up, their past, what they've been doing, recent events. And with C4, that's kind of why I wish Kyle was here. With C4, you know, I can't do that as well as Kyle does. He's definitely gone to a lot more C4 events than I have. I know a lot of the talent, but there's also so much I don't know. Even for some of the ones that I love, I don't know their history as well. So I'm definitely looking forward to learning more of the history of C4. You know, I got to do my homework for sure. You know, I'm excited to see where C4 goes. I think they're an amazing Ottawa-based, you know, independent wrestling company that, you know, I've never been to a bad event. The only thing that I would say about their events sometimes is... But actually, sorry, no, that's not fair. I shouldn't say that. It's not them. It's the crowd. You know, I remember one time there, and I'm not going to say it exactly, but there was like 3 7-year-old girls sitting beside this one guy. I don't know if they were related or not, but the guy, you know, who was there? Penelope Ford was there. And don't get me wrong, Penelope Ford is a very beautiful woman. She is probably one of my big wrestling crushes. But he's literally standing there beside the kid saying, like, show us your tits. You know, like, what? Like, grab his dick. You know, like, I don't understand why he's saying these things. And I even feel off saying those things to you guys, but I'm just trying to tell the story. And but it just doesn't make any sense. And so, and I know I've said it many times before, and Kyle as well, where, you know, if you're at an event, whether it's WWE or an independent, don't get me wrong, when you buy a ticket, you have the right to do what you want to do and say what you want to say, as long as it doesn't harm the well-being of other individuals, the talent or people in the crowd with you. But at the same time, like, come on, man. Like, the guy had to have been, like, in his 30s, you know, and, like, the things that some people scream and yell, and there's no consideration about the fans beside you. Like, that poor girl's literally just sitting there with a big, shocking look on her face going, what? Why is that man telling that girl to show her breasts? So, once again, maybe it makes me sound like a downer, but just be a little bit more tasteful and respectful. You can still yell things, you can still, you know, boo the bad guys and, you know, cheer the good guys or vice versa, whoever you love and whoever you hate, but just always be respectful. Just the kids, just think of the kids, think of the young ones around you. And last piece, a little piece of wrestling news that I read. It's actually on C4's Twitter account. They do have an article up discussing the reason why tomorrow night at Reign of Fire, the C4 World Championship will not be defended. The champion, Josh Alexander, has recently, and the article actually goes into some good, respectful view on Josh and the support they have for Josh and why he won't be there. And, you know, for those of you who may not know, Josh Alexander has recently signed a contract with Impact Wrestling. Which is very huge for Josh's career. You know, say what you want about Impact, but they're a televised show and an amazing talent, you know. The walking weapon, Josh Alexander, gets to be on TV, or more so Twitch, I guess now. But regardless, a big platform where hundreds and thousands of people or dozens of people. Anyways, not important. But more so, he gets a bigger platform to showcase his skill set, which is awesome. So he has current commitments with Impact, but it's great news to say that he will be back in Ottawa April 26th in their next show, defending his C4 World Championship belt. So I think that's really cool. You know, it's really cool to see C4, you know, being behind their guys. You know, I know Alpha 1 was the same and C4 was the same when AEW All Elite Wrestling kind of came to town and started ripping some really, really great talent from the independents. You know, yes, C4 and, you know, Alpha 1 in lots of different, you know, wrestling promotions can get super pissed if they want to, but instead they go, you know what, that's great. Now we can actually also focus on bringing up new stars, you know, and plus they can say that, hey, we were the home of some of these great stars that are going on to AEW and to other bigger and better things. Not, shouldn't say better, but bigger things. So it's really, really cool to see the independent scene very much behind their talent, and promote and supporting each other, you know, kind of like the territories were back in the day. You know, that's where we became, that's kind of where wrestling comes to what we know now. So that's kind of all the news on C4 Wrestling. The last two pieces that, I quickly just noticed online, on Twitter during the break was, AEW news. One of them looks like Ali from Impact Wrestling, recently doing the whole Sue Young dead Ali gimmick. Ali is all in. She's All Elite Wrestling. She signed with All Elite and AEW, and she'll be part of their roster in their female division, which I think is really, really cool. Ali is a great talent, and I feel, being on the outside of Impact Wrestling, she's going to be able to showcase a different side of herself. If you've ever watched Ali wrestle, it almost seems like it's a watered-down version of anything else you see in the independents. And no, I'm not saying that Impact is holding her back, or I just don't know why, but like, she is good. Like, she's a great professional wrestler, and I'm really excited to see her be a part of the evolution in AEW. And of course, one of my legends, one of my inspirations, and one person that I listen to every week on the Ross Report, Jim Ross, confirmed that he is in talks with AEW. Now, I know that's not breaking news because he didn't sign anything, and now I know that that's not a shock to anyone. But recently, you know, JR talked about and expressed his feelings on WWE and, you know, will he re-sign with the company? And he has chosen not to re-sign with WWE at the end of the month. They're not really utilizing him and using him much lately. And Jim Ross wants to commentate. Like, he wants to tell that story. And WWE kind of doesn't see him fit in that picture or that he can still do it. So, hey, if AEW is going to get Jim Ross full-time commenting their matches, whew, that's huge. That's huge. You know, and because I know AEW wasn't necessarily built to just bring all the legends in and give them a job and try to be something we're not. But you cannot argue the fact. And if you do, I'm going to tell you, you don't know your wrestling. If you don't think that Jim Ross would bring an amazing aspect to the story, the view, the emotion of professional wrestling in AEW, man, you're so wrong. You know, I'm very excited about that fact. If anything, if I wasn't already going to watch AEW, the fact that Jim Ross being there, I'm going to watch him even more. So, but no, I'm just kind of just taking a little look at my agenda. I think that's all I wanted to go over today, guys. You know, thank you for bearing with me tonight. You know, a little over an hour today. And once again, you know, I'd love any feedback that you can give me on, you know, this solo adventure that I'm taking the last 2 weeks. I definitely learned a lot about last week that I brought into this week. You know, this week I tried not to go outside of the C4, the C4 topic. I really tried not to go so much based off of notes. And last week I kind of did that more so I took notes and things I specifically wanted to talk about and not sentences or paragraphs. And I was trying to concentrate too much on reading that and thinking while I was talking, which is one of the most weirdest things you can do because you end up tripping on your words. And plus two, I'm in my basement. You know, my wife and kids are asleep, and, you know, I'm just kind of pacing back here, and I'm in my wrestle cave with all my figures and books and belts and, you know, old and new memorabilia, and just kind of surrounding myself around wrestling, talking about wrestling. And, you know, I find that Kyle and I feed off of each other very well. There we go. It is getting late. So to do it alone is a little weird. You know, that's why I have great respect for, you know, Sam Roberts, Jim Ross, you know, people that can do it on their own and just kind of sit there for 1-2 hours and just talk. You know, I'm no Sam Roberts. I'm no Jim Ross. They have great experience in radio and across sports entertainment and other sports and broadcasting, and the list goes on and on. And I'm just a banker that loves pro wrestling. But no, guys, please let me know what you think. Let me know if you want me to go over any other specific topics, or, you know, if you want Kyle and I to go over any specific topics. And please show us some love. If you haven't already, please subscribe. 613 Wrestling. We're found on all popular podcast platforms. You know, Anchor is our main hub, which, you know, we have lots of love and respect for Anchor to give us this platform and to spread our great podcast around all other platforms such as Apple Podcasts, Google. And one that I still cannot believe, Spotify. We're on Spotify, guys. That's amazing. And also check out our social media, 613 Wrestling on Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. I think that's all we're on. Is that all we're on? No, Brett the Hitman Hart figure is not going to answer me on that. But okay, guys. Well, I'm going to wrap it up tonight. And thank you so, so much for listening. I really appreciate all the love and support you give. Please, you know, retweet us on social media and give us any suggestions on anything you would like us to go over in the future. And hopefully I'll see you tomorrow night at C4 Wrestling. I'll tweet once when I get there. And if you are there and you want to meet up and or just talk wrestling and or just say hi on social media, please do. Thank you so much, guys. Hope you're having a great night and great weekend coming up and a great road to WrestleMania. Have a good one. You know, man.